What an awesome responsibility that you have given me to say your word to your people this morning. Hallelujah. I don't take it lightly. I want you to know I don't take it lightly. Hallelujah. When I asked the Lord, what is it he wanted me to speak about this morning? He wanted me to talk about the power of his touch. Amen. Can you say the power of his touch? Amen. The scripture reading will come from, oh, hallelujah. It will come from Luke, the fifth chapter. And I'm going to ask you to stand because it's only a couple of verses. Amen. It's only a couple of verses. Amen. And it's verses 12 to 13. It says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, can you make me clean? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. You may be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Amen. I just want to point out something as I get ready to start. He said two things. Well, three things. Five words. Two things. I am willing. Be clean. I am willing. Be clean. And the Bible says immediately the man was healed. Amen. So this morning, as I go through this sermon, whatever it is, say it right now in your mind. Whatever your situation or your circumstance is, say it in your mind. And I'm going to say to you today, be clean. Whatever it is this morning, be clean. Because if you let the Spirit pour out in you, come on somebody. If you let the Spirit pour out over you, if you let it overwhelm you, you will be clean. It's up to you now. It's up to you. Because the man saw Jesus and then he came to him. The only way you can come to him today is if you are willing. And then you come to him. And you let him know what it is you need. See, because I know he's willing, but are you willing this morning? That's a word already. Anyway, the Bible says Jesus was in a certain city. The Bible doesn't tell us what city Jesus was in, because the name of the city doesn't matter. Amen? Because I believe this morning Jesus is in a certain city, and I believe that he's in a certain city called New Haven. And I believe this morning that he's at a certain location in the city of New Haven, 155 Grand Avenue. Amen. The scripture says that whenever Jesus go anywhere, things begin to change. Amen. Pour out your spirit in this place. So wherever Jesus is, there's a possibility that things will begin to change. So if you came in here this morning, settled down with something, things can begin to change immediately. Pour out your spirit in this place. Upon entering this city, Verse 12 says that a man full of leprosy saw him. Now, I know that this man heard about this man named Jesus. I know that he heard that this man had healed many people. I know that he had accomplished many great things in the life of others. Amen? But when he saw Jesus, the Bible says that he fell on his face and began to worship him. Amen? He began to worship him. We gotta begin to worship him. Before he asked, he worshiped. Woo! Some people are coming in here to ask, and without worshiping. But the Bible is showing us that we must worship him first. The man fell down on his face and worship him. Then he said, if thou wilt. He didn't say, do this for me. He said, if thou wilt. Amen. Thou can make it me clean. Amen. In other words, if you will, can you make me clean? This is how the man began to bow down and in reverence to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you talk to Jesus, do you realize that you are talking? You're not talking to Bishop. You're not talking to Deacon House. You're not talking to your mother or your father, but you are talking to the King of Kings. You are speaking with the Lord of Lords. And he allows you to speak to him. But do you do it with reverence? Do you bow down in reverence? Is your face towards the ground before you start asking for stuff? Woo, hallelujah. Somebody say, shut up. Thank God nobody said that because I wasn't anyway. Hallelujah. This man had no qualms about bowing down his face before him. This man had no pride. He had no shame. And he had no fear. Sometimes we want to ask God for things, but we ain't got pride. We got too much pride. I can't let them people see me bow down. I can't let those people see me pray. I can't let them see me do that. This man had no shame. He didn't care how he looked because the Bible says that he was full. That means that you could see from all the way down the block. That you could see him and you could smell him. He was full of leprosy. He didn't care how he looked. And it says he had no fear. When you want something from the Lord, you better fear not. You better go on and walk without fear and go and get what you got to get. Some people know that they need Jesus. Some people know they need to be lifted up to the throne of grace, and they fear coming into the house of the Lord. They fear somebody praying for them. They fear somebody anointing them with oil, putting their hands on them. Now, you can't let everybody do that. But when you know that the person's anointed or you're in an anointed place, you can't have fear. This man had no fear. This man didn't care who was looking at him. He wanted something from Christ. If you want something from Christ this morning, don't care who's looking at you. He asked a question. When he asked a question, he asked a question in faith, hoping that it would happen, if thou wilt. He asked it in faith. Can you? Thou canst. He said, "You. I know that you can, but will you?" Amen? He had faith. Now, I said earlier that the man had heard of the things that Jesus had done. That's why he ran up to him. Amen? He had not necessarily seen the miracles that Jesus did. But when you walk in faith, the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Somebody this morning, oh, hallelujah. The The man came to Jesus in faith. Jesus didn't go looking for him. Amen. Let me tell you something, saints. When you're a saint of God and you have the anointing on your life, when people are bogged down with things, they're going to come looking for you. They might not look for you ahead of time. They might ignore you, but they'll know who you are, and they are going to come looking for you. Amen? This man came looking for Jesus. I've heard of people on their job, the same person that despised them, that when things are going on in their life, is the same person looking for them to pray for them. You can see that this man came to Jesus. And I'm here to say that sometimes things happen in our lives for a reason. Amen? This man petitioned Jesus for something that he really needed in his life. Could it be that some things are happening in your life because it's trying to get you to look for Jesus? You're looking all over the place, and Jesus wants you to look for him, for your healing, for your deliverance, for salvation. Come on, somebody. This man knew that what Jesus was going to do was going to change his life forever. Don't you know that you have a temporary problem that when you bring it to Jesus, he changes it forever? Oh, hallelujah. Ask yourself. I want you to ask yourself this question. Is what you are praying for relevant to what you need? Is it relevant or is it just what you want? There's a lot of things I want, but do I truly need them? The Bible says in John 2:24-25, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that they should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So you're praying for something, and the Bible is telling you that Jesus already knows what's in your heart. Amen. And he won't commit himself to that. He will not commit himself to what you want. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intent. Maybe you want that Maserati. Notice, I'm not talking no Lincoln, no Cadillac. I'm talking a Maserati. Maybe you want that Maserati, but do you need the Maserati to come to church? You be so worried somebody gonna hit your Maserati in the parking lot that you won't be able to focus on what's going on the inside because your mind will be on the outside. Amen? Because you want that Maserati to show off. The parking in front of your house. To show people how prosperous you are. But you have that Maserati, but you're still living in an apartment. Maybe you have it, you're still living in mama's house. The Bible. Jesus was well aware of the Old Testament because he knew what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:9-10. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Wait a minute. He searched the heart and examined the mind. Listen to this part. To reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. I didn't say it. It's in the Bible. Jeremiah 17:9-10. Look it up. Write it down. This ain't pastor speak. This is Jesus speak. This is God speak through the prophet Jeremiah. So Jesus was very discerning of the heart. And he knew the faith of some are real. And he knew the faith of some are superficial. Amen? Some people will say they have faith and it's superficial. Amen? But when I look at a certain amount of faith, when somebody is laying in the hospital and the doctors are saying this and that, and they say, I know who my Lord and Savior Jesus is. And they come out of it, in spite of what the doctors say, that person has faith. I know a person that has faith that will give their last $10 in service saying, my Lord will provide for me. I know faith. I know superficial faith. I know the type of faith that says, this is mine, and I'll give you that. I know that kind of faith. But faith without works. Faith without works is dead. People, Jesus even knew that some of the same people who were saying, I believe in Jesus, I believe in him, would be the same people later on in a few more weeks that would be saying, crucify him, crucify him. He already knew that. And he understood that it's easy to believe when everything is exciting, when everything is wonderful. You understand? Everybody else believes the same thing that you believe. It's easy to believe in that. It's easy to come to a church that you perceive that don't have no problems. It's easy to come to a church when people don't expect anything out of you. It's easy. Walk on in and walk on out. Give a little, try to take a lot. It's easy. But when things are going on, faithfulness will keep you where you're at. Faithfulness will pull the church through. It will pull your marriage through. It will pull your job through. It will pull you through your sicknesses. You can't just have faith when you get sick. Faith is a substance. I said that the Bible says that faith is a substance. It's something that you have to have on the inside. It's a substance. It's real. You can't see it, but you know when you have it. The Bible wants us to keep our faith firm when it's not popular to believe. You laying in the hospital, you sick, and the doctors and everybody else is saying, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. And you firm in your faith, you believe that that ain't happening because God didn't say it was going to happen. That's faith. When everybody else, the doctors, the nurses, and your family members are calling you into the hospital because it don't look good. But your faith, it looks up and saying, it's looking mighty fine to me. Things are looking wonderful. Things are well. It is well. In my soul. It is well in my soul. It is well with my soul. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance. Hallelujah. This man, this leper, he did his part. He worshiped, he petitioned Christ. And then Christ did his part. He answered. In order for Jesus to do what we petition of him, we must do the same thing that this man do. Worship first and then believe. The Bible acts and says in verse 13 that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be clean. Jesus already knew what he wanted to do. There's no confusion in the mind of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever you're petitioning on, he already knows what he's going to do. Are you petitioning? Are you praising? Are you worshiping him first? The only doubt is in our minds. But I want you to know this morning that there is power in the touch of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But I'm here to talk about the power of the touch of Jesus. Amen? In Matthew 8 and 15, Jesus touched and healed Peter's mother-in-law. Amen? In Matthew 8 and 15, it says, and then she rose and ministered to them. I want you to hear what I'm saying. In Mark 1 and 29, it puts it this way. He took her by the hand and lifted her up, and she ministered to them. In Luke 4, 38 and 41, it says it this way, that she immediately arose and ministered to them. Amen? She was useless. Sometimes people want you to believe that you're useless because you're sick. I rebuke that right now. I send it back to the pits of hell. She was in a hopeless condition. Somebody need to rebuke that right now and send it back to the pits of hell. It says she was considered that way. And she experienced all of these feelings until the touch of Jesus came upon her life. Amen? But we focus on the part where it says she arose. He lifted her up. He held her hand. But after that, it says, and she ministered to them. Amen? When God gives you health, it's so that you can be of service to others. He didn't heal you. He didn't bring you out of the miry clay. He didn't bring you out of your predicament, your circumstance, for you to just go on about your business. He did it for a reason, because there was something that God wanted to use you for, because through your test is your testimony. Somebody got to hear it. Somebody's going to believe because you went through it. I can too. Don't ask for healing if you're not going to serve the Lord. Don't ask for healing if you're not going to service somebody else. Don't ask for things if you're not going to be a blessing to somebody else. Jesus don't heal for you to be selfish about what he's done for you. The Bible wants you to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. And Jesus knows your heart. He knows how deceitful it is. So while you're wondering, check your heart. Check your priorities. Check what you're going to do when Jesus has healed you. Sometimes people say, I don't have a job. Oh, I wish I had a job. I would pay my tithes if I had a job. As soon as you get a job, you forget what you said. You get healed from being sick. Oh, it's better to be out in the park today than to go to church. I'd rather be on the beach. Come on, somebody. He didn't heal you for the beach. He healed you for service. You know, when we get things our own way, I have to tell you, it becomes a mood changer. What was so important before is not as important now. You know, money is a mood changer. You see somebody broke and they get some money, they don't know how to act. They could tell you, oh, you ever lend somebody some money, they got this great plan of how they're going to pay their bills, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, and just as soon as they get paid. Woo, hallelujah. Don't kill the messenger. Just as soon as they get paid, they forgot. I lent somebody some money one time and it was $25. It's not a lot of money, huh? But I didn't have a lot of money. And it was on a Sunday evening. And I had four kids I wanted to give that money to for Monday morning. 10-5-5-5. He came through on a Sunday evening in need. And I gave it to him. Knowing that I would have to get up the next day early and go withdraw some more money to give to my kids because I didn't want them to be disappointed. Yeah, they were young, but $5 was a lot to them. It was a lot to me. I asked, one time, this man wouldn't give me my money back. And so I said, let me go by his house. I'm good for that. I'll come by your house. If you don't know me, if you don't know, you know now. I went by his house, and he said, come on in, and he took me to the back, and he said, look at this, and he's got a man in the back of his house putting in a deck, a brand new deck. I said, man, you got a deck being put in. Where's my money? He said, I got it, Clint. He said, you still worrying about that small piece of change? Thank the Lord I was in his house because I don't know where his things are, whatever they are. But if he had said that around me in my house, oh Lord. I wasn't saved at the time. But it was a small piece of change to him. But it wasn't that to me. It was something that I was giving to my children. So they can buy a piece of cake, a candy, a gum, whatever it was. And it meant a lot to them. But he was in so desperate need when he needed that $25. But then it became a small piece of change. We can't let God do things for us and we turn around and forget about what we said we were going to do if he heals us, if he delivers us, if he supply our needs for us. Hallelujah. Jesus transforms a deaf man. In Mark 7, it says, so Jesus took him aside privately away from the crowd. Sometimes, you know, when Jesus does something for you, it's not going to be spectacular. But he's going to pull you to the side. The Holy Spirit's going to pull you to the side. And it's going to work within you and it's going to do something. Jesus does not need an audience. Amen? He don't need to do it so everybody can see. Hallelujah. But he will pull you to the side. The Bible says he pulled this man. He was deaf and he was dumb. He couldn't hear. He couldn't speak. Bible says Jesus pulled him to the side privately and he stuck his finger in the ear. Then he spit on his hand and stuck his finger in the man's mouth. And immediately the man could hear and he could speak well. The Bible said he could speak plainly. Jesus, the touch, the deaf, and the dumb, Jesus can heal them just by touching them. And some people will say, well, I can't believe that Jesus spit on this man. He used whatever he could use. Hallelujah. Some of the things that he wanted to spit on me, he could spit on me, get rid of some of the things I'm going through. Hallelujah. You don't worry about how Jesus does things. The reason why he took him aside, because Jesus knew that he had to show a different way of healing. How Jesus heals you might be different than somebody else's healing. Amen. Throughout his ministry, Jesus healed. Jesus healed the first man, which said, be clean. He spoke it. Touched and spoke it. Amen. Jesus can heal with a word. Jesus can heal without a word. Jesus can heal in response to faith. He can heal in response to somebody else's faith for you. He can heal those who ask, and he can heal those he just walks up to. Jesus heals how he wants to heal. Jesus don't want to be tied down to any one method. That's why you should not look at somebody else's healing and say, I want that, Lord. How he's going to do you is how he's going to do you. Because how he made you is how he made you. Your healing is not my healing. The way he does it for me is different than yours. Amen. The Bible says with this deaf and dumb man, what he did is he sighed. There are sighs and there are sighs. There's a sigh where, I don't even want to be bothered with this no more. There's a sigh, I don't even know why you come to me. But his sigh was a sigh of compassion of what sin had done to this world. Amen? The Bible says that immediately the man's ears opened and his tongue was released. Oh, hallelujah. In Isaiah 35, it says, it was already prophesied in the Old Testament. It says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. This was already prophesied in Isaiah in the Old Testament, what the Messiah would do. And the thing about it was, even though the people of the law, the Jews of the law, they knew the Old Testament from the beginning to the end, from left to right and up and down. But when they seen these things, they didn't believe that this was the Messiah. There, you see things going on around you right now. You need to understand that this is the works of God happening right now around you. Some of the things that are happening is already written in the Bible, already been predicted, already been talked about, and you are seeing it and not believing it, and you're wondering, what is this that's going on? The Bible says there will be wars and rumors of wars. There's wars and rumors of wars going around right now. The Bible says that people will believe a lie rather than believe a truth. How many people are believing a lie today and not believing the truth? Hallelujah. Jesus can transform the doom. This leper, he was doomed. He was living a life that he was doomed. He was separated. You know, the enemy loves to separate you. He loves to isolate you. He loves to do all of that. But when Jesus comes into your life, he can change all of that. You know that derelict that's out in the street, if they would come to Jesus, he can change all of that. The alcoholic, he can change all of that. The drug addict, he can change all of that. The prostitute, he can change all of that. Jesus touched the dead. Jairus was walking, and he was walking to tell Jesus, come see my daughter. My daughter is dead. But the Jesus didn't just touch the girl. He touched her, and she lived. There's a touch, and there's a touch. He touched her, and she lived. The power was the power of his touch. Some of you today, we got to transform our mind into saying, I got to receive the touch of the Holy Spirit. I got to receive the power of Jesus. I need him today. Some things are going to go by prayer and fasting. You just want to pray. You just think Jesus is going to do something one way. But he already said some things happen another way. You got to get down on your knees. You got to ask him and search him. He let him search your heart, search your mind, search your soul. And you got to be real. You can fake me out, but you can't fake him out. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your spirit. What happens so many times, people come into the church and they get saved and that's it. That is not the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. That is not the power to conquer the enemy. That is not the power to overcome. You need the Holy Spirit working within you. You need more than just a plain relationship. Being saved is a platonic relationship with Christ. You need to get engaged with him. You need to put a ring on his finger. You remember when you were young and you had those platonic relationships? This is my girlfriend, this is my boyfriend. The older you got, you realize that was really no relationship. It was a thing. An immature thing. And if you come to church and you just get saved and you don't seek him more, you have a platonic relationship with Christ. But you come and then you want to see the transforming power of Christ. You need to do more. Seek ye while he may be found. Call upon his name. You want to ask me what's wrong? That's what's wrong. You have a platonic relationship and you want him to invest in that. He's not going to invest in that. I read you a scripture said he will search your heart and he gives you according to your deeds and according to your needs. Your deeds and your needs. And a lot of us need a lot, but we ain't got no deeds to go with it. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to a few people, not somebody. Hallelujah. There are several aspects of the touch of Jesus that I want to point out. That his touch is an intimate touch. Amen? When he touched the leper, it demonstrated a desire on his part to become immediately involved in the man's life. It was an intimate. You know a touch, and you know an intimate touch. Amen? He doesn't just want to touch you. He wants to have an intimate touch with you. He wants to immediately become part of your life. Amen? His touch is a powerful touch. Amen? Sometimes when Jesus, the Holy Spirit, touch you, you got to jump up. It's like fire shut up inside of your bones. Oh, hallelujah. And if you never had fire shut up inside of your bones, you never had that powerful touch of the Holy Spirit. That touch turned Simon into Peter. That touch took Jacob, a trickster, and made him the prince of God. Jacob became Israel. He took Abram and turned him into Abraham. He took Elijah and made Elijah into a man of God. Amen? He took Moses, the murderer, and he made Moses into the leader of a people of God. He transformed a nobody named Jeremiah, and he made him into the weeping prophet of God. He touched James and John, the sons of thunder, and he made them one an early martyr, the other the apostle of love. His touch is a transforming touch. Transforming. It transforms so many of us sitting here today that when people look at you that knew you from before, they can't believe that you. We're mere clay and he is the potter. He molds us from the grave and he molds us unto death. When he does that, everything changes. Don't you know that when you come in, you're mud? You come in as mud. He turns you into clay. And then he's able to form you. He's able to put you on that wheel. He's able to put some of that holy water on you to loosen you up a little bit, to make it to form a little curve here, to put a little handle there, to strengthen you as you continue to go on in Christ. But some of us, we still want to be mud. We still want to be familiar with the dirt. We don't want to be clay. We still want to be mud. And as long as you mud, the potter can't mold you. As long as you're mud, the potter will not be able to use you. As long as you're mud, the potter is not able to pour anything in. Because it's all going to fill, it's going to spill out. It's going to go for naught. Amen. He ain't pouring new wine into old wineskins. But when you have the power of the touch, the transforming touch of God, oh, hallelujah, things will change. I hear people say, oh, I want things to change. Do you really? Are you ready to go through what you need to go through for it to change? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You listen to some of them stories my wife might tell you. You say, well, woman, why you stay with him? And I promise to change a lot. But when Jesus, it's not my will, but when Jesus, oh, hallelujah, when I got a touch, a transforming touch from the Lord, no words needed to be said. No promise had to be given from my mouth. It wasn't in my words, but it was in my walk. It was in my talk. It was in my priorities. It's what I decided to do. It's where I went. It's where I didn't go. It's how I loved her. It's how I walked with her. It's how I continue to be with her. Same thing goes for your walk with Christ. It's not in your talk, but it's in your walk. It's in what you do. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning.